Welcome back. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. The small business sector is often referred to as the engine of the U.S. economy. There are over 27 million small businesses in the United States, and according to census data, small businesses create over 90% of new net jobs. The presidential candidates often talk about their support for small businesses, but we rarely hear from small business owners and the people who advocate for them. So on today's Your Call, we continue our Agenda for a New Economy series by talking about the state of small business and how the economic crisis has affected them. What is being done to grow this sector? What does this election mean for small businesses? How did close ties of both major parties to big multinationals shape their approach to small businesses? And if you're a small business owner, or if you advocate for small businesses, what policies do you care about? Today, we're joined by Lloyd Chapman, Executive Director of the American Small Business League. That's a nonpartisan organization that was formed to promote and advocate policies that provide the greatest opportunity for small businesses, 98% of U.S. companies with fewer than 100 employees. And Lloyd joins me here in studio. Hi, Lloyd. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Rose.
Great to have you. Jerry Glover is Executive Director of the Small Business Technology Council. In 1978, he was counsel to the House Small Business Committee. He directed an extensive set of hearings on small businesses that laid the groundwork for the Small Business Innovation Research Program in 1978. Jerry was counsel to the Senate Small Business and Entrepreneurship Committee in 2001, and he worked with the Clinton administration on small businesses from 1994 to 2001. And Jerry joins us from Annapolis, Maryland. Hi, Jerry. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rose. It's good to be with you.
It's great to have you. So why don't we start off with the basics? We often hear the word business thrown around, but we rarely hear it defined. So, Lloyd, how would you define a small business?
I think everybody knows what a small business is. The Census Bureau says 98% of all U.S. firms have less than 100 employees, and I like that definition. I could go with that, although 89% of all U.S. firms actually have less than 20 employees. I think 100 employees is a fair definition.
Wait, so 98%?
Of all U.S. firms have less than 100 employees.
All U.S. firms.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a huge number.
Yes, it is.
Jerry, what would you add to that? We rarely hear this percentage.
No, those percentages are absolutely correct. I like the definition of 500 employees because you then cover all small businesses, and some of the faster growth companies grow through the 100 employee, even the 250 category, fairly quickly. And by using 500, you sort of capture that early growth. But there's certainly good reason for either definition. But I sort of go for the 500, which is what the White House conference in 80 and 95 voted for, and so I sort of use that definition because that's what they sort of thought was the best definition at the time.
I can go with 500. I agree with that. Yeah, that's it. It's not whether it's 100 or 500. The fact today is that so much of the money supposed to go to small businesses is actually going to Fortune 500 firms.
Well, what money?
Well, by law, 23% of all government contracts are supposed to go to small businesses. And the SBA Inspector General has released a series of reports that found that, so much of that money is actually going to Fortune 500 firms here in the U.S. and actually some of the biggest companies around the world. About 3 weeks ago, it came out that the United States government gave, I think, $370 million in U.S. government small business contracts to an arms dealer owned by the Russian government. That's just the latest outrage. Other companies have gotten small business contracts include Finmeccanica, which is an Italian defense contractor with, I think, 75,000 employees, Rolls-Royce, British Aerospace, Thales in France, Berman NV in Holland, along with, Lockheed, Boeing, Northrop, Raytheon.
Well, and I know you're outraged about a lot of this stuff, Lloyd, but before we get to that, let's pull back a minute and just talk about the small business sector. What kinds of companies are we really talking about here? Can you break it down for us?
Well, all the big businesses today were at one time small businesses. Hewlett-Packard started in a garage in Palo Alto. Apple started in someone's garage. All big businesses started off as small businesses. And you know, America, a lot of people don't know this. It's you wouldn't know it by watching national television, but America is a small business based economy. All the jobs come from small businesses, as we've talked about, and small businesses are the heart of our nation's economy. They're the engine of economic growth and job creation, and yet mainstream media just never talks about it. It's almost as if they're prohibited, because you just never see them talk about it. And the data is irrefutable. Jerry actually is someone who actually was responsible for bringing a lot of that information together. But small businesses don't get the recognition they receive and the attention from the government.
Jerry, do you agree with that?
Absolutely. There's no question that the first time I looked at job creation in small business was when I was with the House Small Business Committee. And at that point, we didn't have any really good data. So what I used is the Fortune 1000 largest companies as big business and defined small business as everybody else. And that got us down to between around 750 employees. And that study showed way back in the late 60s, early 70s, when we looked at it, 98% of all jobs were created by small business during that period. The large companies have often outsourced their jobs. They have become multinational, and creating jobs in America is not on their priority list. So more and more of job creation has shifted to small business. And the most recent numbers that I'm comfortable with, certainly put it in the 90% range of all jobs created in the United States come from small business.
And Lloyd, what are you hearing from the small businesses you work with? How have they been affected by the economic crisis?
Well, small businesses have been devastated. They've had to lay off employees, and their business is suffering, and they're not getting any help from the government. And what's interesting is it's be so easy to help small businesses. It's what I call it free and easy. And President Obama could issue an executive order tomorrow and simply stop the government from giving small business contracts to Fortune 500 firms, for example. He could do that with a one-line executive order. Free, easy, simple solution to job creation. But you've got these large corporations that are getting a lot of this money, and they want to keep it. And unfortunately, they've got the power in Washington. They've got the clout with the White House, with Congress, with every federal agency. And small businesses just don't have the voice in Washington that they should.
How much are we talking about here when you're referring to these contracts?
Well, that's an interesting subject. Federal law says that small businesses should get a minimum of 23% of the total value of all federal contracts and subcontracts. The government talks about an acquisition budget of around $500 billion. I think it's probably closer to $1 trillion, quite frankly, when you include all federal contracts, classified, unclassified, foreign, domestic.
Are you talking $1 trillion a year?
Yeah, that's my belief. I've seen a lot of data that backs that up. About a year or so ago, the former head of the GSA under the Bush administration wrote an article, and she said it was closer to $1 billion. I've seen an article in Stars and Stripes magazine that a journalist did a lot of research on that. But when you see the Pentagon budget, I forgot what it is. Sherry, what's the Pentagon budget? Is it like $600-700 billion, something like that?
That's close.
Yeah.
It's generally considered to be half of the federal procurement dollars come through the Defense Department.
Yeah. And that's just unclassified. And a large chunk of money is classified. So when you see the Pentagon spending, $600-800 billion, it's not reasonable to think the entire government is only spending $500. It makes sense. But anyway, so let's just go ahead and use the $500 billion number the government's talking about, and 23% of that. The latest data released by the government shows that of the top 100 recipients of federal small business contracts, 72 are actually large businesses, and they're household names. NBC did a story just recently that showed, I think, Oracle and IBM and Hewlett-Packard are getting small business contracts, and Microsoft, I think. So I can't think of a Fortune 500 company that I haven't seen getting small business contracts at one point in time in the last decade.
So how important are these contracts to small businesses? Did they, when they got them, was it a large chunk of their revenue?
Well, it's when you're talking about $100 billion that should be going into the middle class, and then when most of it's not going to the middle class. They talk about, you know, trickle-down economics. This is sort of trickle-up economics, I'll call it. That has a huge impact on the middle-class economy when every year for a decade, up to $100 billion is pulled from the middle class. That's $1 trillion in the last 10 years. Any economist will tell you that that's a huge impact on the middle class.
So there's 23% of these contracts, about $1 trillion a year, are supposed to go to small businesses.
Well, the government says it's $500 billion.
So okay, so 23% of $500 billion is supposed to go to these contracts, mm-hmm. and you're saying it's not.
Absolutely, it's not. In fact, again, the SBA Inspector General released Report 515 in 2005, and it said this: one of the largest challenges facing the Small Business Administration and the entire federal government today is that large businesses are receiving federal small business procurement awards and agencies are receiving credit for these awards. That's the SBA Inspector General. They found that large corporations are getting contracts fraudulently through what they called false certifications and improper certifications. In Report 514, they found the SBA itself is giving small business contracts to large businesses.
And you've actually filed Freedom of Information requests to get this information, right?
Hundreds.
So who's why is this happening? Who's supposed to make sure that small businesses get these contracts?
I would say the Small Business Administration is supposed to make sure that they get them. But quite frankly, people need to realize the Small Business Administration is a federal agency, and it's run by someone who's appointed by the president. And their number one job is to make the president look good. That's their, you know, that's the SBA's function.
Jerry, what about this? 23% of these contracts are supposed to go to small businesses, and Lloyd says they're not.
Lloyd has looked into this a lot more than I have, and the 23% is in law, and it was I think the number is going up to 25% in future years. That's a goal that has been set for the government. We also have goals for like women-owned businesses for 5%,
right.
Veterans-owned businesses and disabled veteran businesses. All are have been established as goals and. Quite frankly, the administrations in recent history, all of the administrations have basically fallen short of meeting those goals. The problem of large firms, in effect, masking themselves as small business is a concern and has been for quite a while. Lloyd has pointed that out very clearly to the Bush administration and to the Obama administration. They placed some regulations in place that should have helped the problem, but we still are seeing instances where large firms are reported as small business, and their information counts toward the goals. So yeah, you know, yes, it's a concern. I haven't quantified it. I don't know the extent and magnitude of it, but I haven't heard anybody rebut what Mr. Chapman is saying in terms of actual numbers. So,
because we're talking about $125 billion a year, mm-hmm. just under that, right? If we're talking about 23% of $500 billion.
Yeah, a little more than $500 billion. So, yeah, it's about $125 billion.
Right. So then that money, you're saying, is supposed to go to these firms with maybe less than 100 employees.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's not happening. What else is facing small
businesses? The vast majority of that is happening, but there's enough that's not happening that it's a concern. You know, whether the percentage going to large firms is, you know, 1%, 2%, 5%, I don't know. But the vast majority of that number is, in fact, going to small businesses, and that's good news. The bad news is that the goals aren't, in general, being met, and that they have not excluded firms that are not small from the count. So it's a bad news story, but it's also a good news story. Without the federal procurement that goes to small business now, it'd be very, very, very difficult for many small businesses to survive. I mean, there's no question that there are literally tens of thousands of small businesses who view the federal government as a valued customer and who has a significant part of their businesses based on their sales to the federal government. I think Lloyd's point is there should be a lot more than that, and there certainly shouldn't be large companies, in effect, being able to obtain some of that small business procurement.
Yeah, it's one thing that's interesting is when you talk to the people at the SBA about this problem, as NBC did about 3 weeks ago, the SBA will tell you that it's miscoding, and lately they call it anomalies. And an anomaly would be like, you know, a random occurrence, like flipping a quarter, for example, or getting hit by lightning. And what no journalist in a decade has ever asked the SBA is, why is it that every time we have these miscoding and these anomalies, it always ends up reporting an award to a Fortune 500 firm or a large business as a small business award, and never the other way around? A true miscoding error, if someone's entering into a computer, half the time they would report an award to a large business as a small business award, and the other half the time an award to a small business would be miscoded as a large business award. But you don't see that. You see these, what the SBA calls anomalies, as, you know, for a decade, diverting billions of dollars in small business contracts to Fortune 500 firms. So it's clearly not an anomaly.
Including Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon, GE, AT&T, British Aerospace, and an Italian defense firm, Finmeccanica. And that's Lloyd Chapman. He wrote about this for the Huffington Post. You can find it at yourcallradio.org. And he's executive director of the American Small Business League, a nonpartisan organization that supports 98% of U.S. companies with fewer than 100 employees. We're also joined by Jerry Glover, executive director of the Small Business Technology Council. He has been involved in supporting small businesses both in government and outside government since 1978. And we'd love to hear from you. If you are a small business owner, what do you make of what we're facing right now? Because the presidential candidates always say they love small businesses and they want to create jobs for small businesses, but we rarely hear your voice in the conversation. And so what are you facing? How have you been hit by the economic crisis? What are your thoughts about what Lloyd and Jerry are saying about the fact that so many of these contracts are not going to small businesses? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also leave a comment at yourcallradio.org. And if you advocate for small businesses, or if you make a point to support small businesses, Lloyd was saying that almost 100% of new net jobs are created by small businesses. Yet we rarely hear that discussed, right, Lloyd? And so what are your thoughts on that? And what do you think needs to be done to support small businesses? 866-798-8255. And what policies do you support? You can also leave email us feedback at yourcallradio.org. So let's just talk about these presidential candidates. What do you make of their claims, Lloyd, that they love small businesses and they're going to do whatever they can to make sure small businesses can expand and hire new employees?
Well, I'm pretty callous at this point in my life. The truth is that most of the money that goes to these presidential campaigns comes from Fortune 500 firms. And if you want to be the president, you've got to do what the Fortune 500 firms want. They've got so much clout in America. And politicians talk about small businesses every day, all day long. The bottom line is that every day for a decade, our government has given small business contracts knowingly, willfully to Fortune 500 firms. So anyone who sits in the White House and allows that to go on to me, you know, I can't approve of that. And it doesn't matter who's elected. So if President Obama is reelected or Mitt Romney's elected, it'll continue because these large corporations are so powerful. It's going to take a lot, you know, for that to stop. But it's just very unfortunate. This issue of small business contracts going to large businesses, to me, proves a dozen things about our government. Number one, you know, America's not a democracy. How about if anyone out there is listening that thinks that Fortune 500 firms should use government small business contracts, give us a call. Let's see how many people call, right? No one is, you know, believes that. If we took a survey of people, you know, around the country, 100% of people would agree with me and Jerry. Fortune 500 firms should not get federal small business contracts. Then why has this scandal gone on for a decade? So to me, it proves that America is not a democracy. I think it says a lot about any politician, quite frankly, that won't stand up and talk about this. You don't see, you know, anybody on television talking about this. This is a huge issue affecting the middle class. As far as I know, and Jerry knows more about this than I do, but I think it's the largest federal program in history to direct infrastructure spending to the middle class. And yet we've got, I don't know, I've heard 25 federal investigations in a decade that show this is a problem. And yet no legislation's ever been passed, no policy's been passed, you know, to completely halt it. So it's disappointing.
Jerry, what would you add to that?
I would suggest that we sort of broaden the discussion beyond just those companies doing business with the federal government or wishing to do business and talk about small business in general.
Right. Well, that was my next question, is what other policies do small businesses care about?
I think they care about a variety of things. The most critical issue right now is credit availability. I testified before the Senate about a year ago, in which I said it's the perfect storm of credit crunch for small business. There are a variety of ways that small businesses finance their businesses and finance their business growth that, because of the economy and where we are right now, are not available to small businesses. Historically, when someone starts their small business, they go take a home equity loan and use that money to help fund their startup of their business. Or if they're going to expand and grow their businesses, they do the same thing. Home equity loans, because of the values of homes have gone down, there's simply not much equity left in most individuals to allow them to go borrow money to put into their business. So home equity loans are gone. Credit cards, there's been a dramatic reduction in the credit limits for people, and there have been tightening on restrictions, and so credit cards are generally not as available as they used to be to grow their businesses. And a lot of new businesses, especially studies looking at women-owned businesses, showed that they started off with their credit cards. And with the limits that have been placed on credit cards for individuals, where they're not as high as they used to be, it was pretty easy to borrow money on your credit card, that credit card's gone down. And we also see the large banks in particular have dramatically reduced their lending to small business.
Right.
And as a result of that, the only real source of credit, especially for long-term loans, has been government-guaranteed loans.
And before the break, Jerry, I just want to add to the list. We got an email from Joan who says, please talk about the very small businesses. Many of us own small businesses, independent contractor design and development shops that are 1 to 10 people. They're very common in the Bay Area. She says the biggest issues we have, buying health care, very expensive and low-quality products for independent and tiny businesses, estimated taxes payment, having to pay taxes ahead of time is a big burden for independent and small businesses, or teeny businesses, as she says. It would be great to pay as we earn rather than before we earn it. Often we have to pay our safety net money to the IRS and we don't know what will be coming in. It would be great for the IRS to allow us to pay at the end of the quarter rather than the beginning. They need to update their practices in order to accommodate the current way of working. Please talk about tiny businesses. No one ever does. And it's a great point, Joan. Quick comment before we go to break.
I think the average American company has 9 employees.
Wow.
I remember that from the Census Bureau data from a few years ago. So,
and yet we hear Fortune 500, 500, 500
that's right.
constantly.
That's right. It's if you watch CNN all day long, they will never mention small businesses, even though small businesses are the irrefutable engine of economic growth.
The average is 9 employees?
9 employees, the average American company.
And I'll give you an even scarier number.
Well, Jerry, we're going to quickly go to break. This is fascinating. If you'd like to join us, if you run a small business under 10 employees, how do you feel about this, that you're being completely left out of the conversation? And we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. This is your call. We'll be back after this.
This is Local Public Radio, KALW, San Francisco. Back to your call in just a moment. KALW's No Interruption Fall Membership Campaign is just around the corner. From September the 6th through the 20th, we're looking for some phone volunteers to help us out on the phones. Between those dates, if you'd like to help make a contribution to the campaign and make it a great success and meet some of the people you hear every day here on Local Public Radio, call the membership department, 415-841-4121. 415-841-4121, extension 1.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, Holly Kernan will have a conversation about the Republican Party's platform. How has it changed since 2008? We do have a copy of the draft, and just a couple of things. It says it opposes abortion in all cases with no exceptions for rape or incest, supports a voucher system for health care for seniors, supports a person's right to self-defense, believes in marriage, that marriage is between a man and a woman. So who is setting this agenda? How important is this platform? And whether or not you identify as a Republican, what does the party's platform mean to you? And the convention is getting underway as we speak. And I was listening to Democracy Now! This morning, and they had a conversation with the Sunlight Foundation about all of the organizations that are partying in Tampa, Florida, including AT&T. A number of major multinationals are spending a lot of money on parties with direct access to the candidates. It's directly connected to what we're talking about today because, Lloyd, do you know, are any small businesses going to these conventions?
I doubt it. Number one, they can't afford it, and they can't take away time away from your business. If you're a small business owner, you've got to be there. You can't go running off to Florida.
You can't shut down a restaurant for
no,
a weekend?
No.
That is Lloyd Chapman. He's executive director of the American Small Business League, a nonpartisan organization that was formed to promote and advocate policies for 98% of U.S. companies with fewer than 100 employees. And before the break, we heard that the average a company in the U.S. has about 9 employees. We're also joined by Jerry Glover, executive director of the Small Business Technology Council. During the break, Lloyd called Jerry a hero for small businesses. He's been working inside and outside of the U.S. government since 1978. Back then, he was counsel to the House Small Business Committee. He directed an extensive set of hearings on small businesses that laid the groundwork for the Small Business Innovation Research Program. He also worked with the Clinton administration from 94 to 2001. And we'd love to hear from you. According to the recent data, almost 100% of small businesses create almost 100% of new net jobs in the U.S. So if you're a small business owner, if you care about small businesses, what do you think of the policies in place that actually help small businesses? What do you think of the presidential candidates when they talk about how much they care about small businesses? What policies do you care about? 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org, or better yet, leave a comment on our website. So what would you like to say to Joan? She believes that the teeny businesses are being completely ignored.
Call Barbara Boxer and tell her that.
And
Feinstein.
Jerry, how are Feinstein and Boxer on these issues?
They are slightly above average in terms of their care about small business. They've been very supportive of small business innovation research. They've been supportive of the SBA increased credit and lending availability. Let me just go back to the prior discussion about how do the parties treat small business. And my mentor, Milt Stewart, who was the first chief counsel for advocacy at SBA, used to say that politicians hug small business in public and mug them in private.
Yeah.
And what happens is everybody loves small business. If you could have everybody in if you asked the Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, everybody stand up that loves small business, you would get unanimous everybody standing up. If you then ask, what have you done for small business, you will find everybody sitting there thinking and scratching their heads because most of them cannot identify two or three things they've really done for small business. One of the fun questions to ask your elected representatives in any debate is, what have you done for small business? It's an interesting question, and I will tell you that every politician should be ready with a real answer to that question, and I think that you can judge by the quality of the answer whether they really do care about small business. But every politician says they love small business, and they all understand that small business creates the jobs. We are the most loved institution. When you do polling about, do you like Congress, you're down in the 10-15% range. When you do you like small business, you're up in the 70% range. It's one of the most beloved institutions in America. Having said that, we certainly have had challenges in getting good things for small business enacted, and it's the exception rather than the rule. When any administration or quite frankly Congress focuses on helping small business, you know, we have some folks who are totally dedicated and committed, like Senator Landrieu from Louisiana, who's chairman of the Senate Small Business Committee. She works very hard on fighting for small businesses and been very effective. But then, you know, you know, and she's got a Republican counterpart, Senator Snow from Maine, who has been likewise championing. But you don't find enough of them on critical issues. And when it comes to weighing this for small business versus this for somebody else, then that's when small business comes up short on the in the political scenario.
And before we go to calls, we have full lines. Do you want to respond to Joan? Because I want to make sure we address the tiny businesses.
Well, let me just say this. There are a number of programs that are designed to help tiny businesses. My instincts, feelings are that they have provided some help, but not enough. And the kinds of things she was identifying are the kinds of things that really do make it difficult for these new, very small businesses to start and to grow. And certainly the government should be doing a lot more to do that. But there have been efforts, and especially for women-owned businesses, there have been a lot of outreach, education. But I think that the credit crunch and the financial ability to pay is still a huge problem for these very tiny businesses.
Like. Yeah, that's true. In fact, about a couple years ago, there's a bank called CIT, a 100-year-old bank that for the last 7 years was the nation's number one lender to small businesses, women-owned businesses, and minority-owned businesses. And the government let them fail. And they saved a lot of other banks, like Bank America got a lot of money from the government. Bank America cut their lending to small businesses. That was in the news about a year ago. So CIT, the nation's oldest and top lender to small businesses, was allowed to fail. That's an indication of how the government feels about small businesses. And I guess a good example of how the government feels about small businesses is that the federal law that requires 23% of all government contracts to go to small businesses is the largest program in U.S. history to help small businesses. And every single day for a decade, everybody in Congress knows, and everybody in the White House has known, that millions of dollars a day in federal small business contracts go to the biggest companies in the world.
Well, and if you want to see those, I always talk about this website that I love, militaryindustrialcomplex.com. Mm-hmm. It lists all the military contracts that are given out every day. And the numbers are just wild. Anywhere up to $900 million sometimes a day. So I'll look at that later in the show. Thank you for the email, Joan. We've got full lines. Let's go through a few and then we'll get comments. Let's hear from Sudish in San Francisco. Hi, Sudish. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm my partner and I own a small business, and we got a small business loan many years ago, and that helped us stabilize our rent because it allowed us to purchase our office space. The question I have is, and it's related to what you were saying about CIT Bank, what I'm finding is, the irony is that after the 2008 market downturn, we are now in a position where we find that our interest rate on the SBA loan through BFA is much higher than what we can get in the open market. And when we tried to talk to them about it, and they said there's a huge prepayment penalty and that cannot be changed. So it seems kind of counterproductive that we are actually in a position where we could find a better rate in the open market.
That doesn't surprise me. You just don't see the government putting the attention into the programs to help finance small businesses. The SBA budget and staffing today is less than it was when Ronald Reagan was president. And the SBA staffing has been cut so dramatically that they really can't carry out their mission. They can't staff these programs. So small businesses like yours are being damaged because of the SBA has been downsized to the point that there's just not the attention on the loan programs or any of the programs. I think one of the biggest things we could do is to probably quadruple the SBA budget. We want to cut the deficit and create jobs.
And I have those numbers. There was a high mark during the Clinton years at $1.1 billion mm-hmm. for the SBA. In 2008, the last year of the Bush presidency, the budget went down to $569 million. In 2010, it was brought up to $829 million, and then there was another increase. So it's almost to about $1 billion right now.
Let me just add to this. The SBA loan program, which is in times of credit crunch, which certainly we've been in, is important and actually doubled from around $8.5 billion to $17 billion between 2009, 2010, and then 2011, from 2009 to 2011. But at the same time, large banks were pulling out of the market and stopped lending. So maybe to the tune of $100 billion of money taken away from the small business lending pool. You have $30 billion from various things that the Obama administration did, $8 billion at SBA, additional money at SBA, some other loan programs and other things that were done. But you still have a $70 billion shortfall, and that shortfall, part of it may be because of the economy, but there's certainly lots of businesses out there who would like to grow their business, people who would like to start their business, for whom credit's not available. I think it's great that the caller was able to find other banks willing to lend to them, because what I hear from most small businesses is that they can't get loans from banks at all. So he must be running a good business, and I congratulate him on that. But this credit crunch is pervasive. It is across the board, and I think that Obama administration is committed to for increasing it. $30 billion is a good bit of money, but when you see the large banks, just the large banks, pull out of the market to the tune of $100 billion, there's a huge shortfall there.
Interesting point. I thought when Jerry was talking about the SBA loans went up from $8 to $17 billion. Think about it this way. There's 28 million small businesses in America. They create 90% of the net new jobs, half the private sector workforce, half the gross domestic product, and they gave them an additional $7, $8 billion. AIG got $150 billion. So think about that way, people. You know?
Yes, it puts it in perspective, Lloyd. That is Lloyd Chapman, Executive Director of the American Small Business League. Jerry Glover is Executive Director of the Small Business Technology Council. And we have a number of calls and emails. Just quickly, do you have any tips for Sudeesh and others like him who are trying to get low-interest loans right now?
Come up with a business plan and shop your loan to a number of banks. And banks want to see, you know, a business plan. And unfortunately, I've never heard of a small business owner getting a loan without some kind of collateral. Jerry was right. A lot of people are having to put their, you know, homes up to get loans. But, you know, just keep asking. If 10 people tell you no, ask more.
Let me give them one specific
thing. All right.
The Office of Advocacy at the Small Business Administration publishes a banking study that ranks every bank in every state on how helpful they are to small business, how many loans they make.
Hmm.
Look at that. Go to the sba.gov/advo or advocacy. Just Google advocacy, small SBA advocacy banking study. Look at the most recent banking study. Click on your state. Look and see what's going on, because often, to me, I started publishing that study when I was chief counsel, because I kept hearing from banks who said, I'm a great small business lender, and when I looked at the data, they weren't. And if you go to the wrong bank, they'll turn you down because they're not making loans to anybody else.
Well, Jerry, how are the bailed-out banks doing on this?
Not very well at all. The banks that got TARP money cut back their lending to small business 20-plus percent. The banks that got the most help from the government have done the least for small business.
Absolutely.
The banks that got the most help have done the least for small businesses.
That's correct.
Yeah. I remember seeing Barack Obama, George Bush, and John McCain on national television trying to get the American people to back TARP because they said small businesses need access to capital. I saw a number of studies that found that after TARP was passed, I think Jerry will back me up on this, lending to small businesses actually dropped. And I remember CNN did a story about that. So,
well, we've got a number of callers. I just want to get in as many as we can. There's a lot of interest in this topic. Let's hear from Marcia in San Francisco. Hi, Marcia.
Hi. I have been retired from the government for over 15 years, so I think I'm safe to remark on what goes on. I was the small business representative for 5 states, California, Nevada, Arizona, whatever, for the Environmental Protection Agency, which has a lot of money to pass through. Are you hearing me? I can't hear you.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
It was a, and I had this post for 6 years. It was a punishment detail for not being politically correct. I had zero training. It was a collateral duty. I was expected to spend 20% of my time doing it. I would say 90% of the time that I was allowed to spend on it was spent traveling. I went to trade shows where the most useful thing I could do was make sure that I had a stock of forms that the small business owners needed, because it was hard for them to get them other ways. I don't know why it was hard, but I would give them phone numbers and names of people who might be friendly to them and to their business needs. How do I say it?
They weren't committed to it, right, Marcia?
The entire headquarters staff for EPA. Now, my regional office had a little over 3,000 people in it. The headquarters was just huge. And the entire small business staff had 2 full-time people and 3 collateral duty people like me, who were mostly clerk typists. And that was it. That was the commitment that we made. The big item in the small business budget for the Environmental Protection Agency was, there just wasn't any. Nobody cared.
Yeah. What Marcia is saying, I've heard over and over and over. Marcia, I had two former SB executives tell me that the federal government small business program is all smoke and mirrors. And it sounds like that's what you experienced at the EPA. And I've talked to a lot of people like Marcia in the last 20 years, and they all tell similar stories. So Marcia was probably what's called the small business liaison for the EPA in that area. And it's just all smoke and mirrors. It's all talk. It's all show and no go and no money for small businesses, even though the law requires it. But her story is, I've heard this story 100 times.
Liaison for the EPA.
Yeah, I think that's what her title was, small business liaison.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah. So by law, every government contractor and every federal agency is required to have a small business liaison.
Okay.
What they do is they go to trade shows I call it dog and pony show.
Huh.
But when it really comes to awarding contracts to small businesses, you just don't see it happening.
I just want to ask you quickly before we go to our next guest. We got an email from Russell who says, what kind of small business under 100 people could really handle the type of contract being awarded to Oracle, HP, or Boeing? And I just checked out the military industrial complex site. Okay, on the 24th, the government gave out, the Pentagon gave out almost $1 billion in contracts. Mm-hmm. $180 million to Honeywell, for example. Lockheed Martin, $64 million. Almost $1 billion in one day. Would a small business be able to handle some of these contracts?
I got a great answer for Russell. I got good news for you. I did some research on this. I hired someone to do some research, and I can't remember the exact number, but something like 50% of all individual contract actions are under $100,000. I have a friend that's got a company that does $60 million a year with the government. Their average order is around $2,500. So these big contracts, but what's called the individual contract actions, the orders placed against those contracts are very small. So no matter what you're selling, the government's buying it. and they buy in increments that at least half of all individual contract actions are under $100,000, and a small business with, you know, clearly 100 employees can handle an order like that. So it's a huge opportunity for small businesses.
And this is taxpayer dollars.
Taxpayer dollars. I like to say there's no better way to reinvest our tax dollars than to the small businesses that generated most of it and where most Americans work, but it's not happening.
That is Lloyd Chapman, Executive Director of the American Small Business League, and Jerry Glover is Executive Director of the Small Business Technology Council, working on this issue since 1978. And I'd like to welcome Tracy Everwine to the show. Tracy is Project Director at Urban Solutions, whose mission is to strengthen underserved neighborhoods by supporting small businesses. Hi, Tracy. Thanks for hanging on the line.
Hi, Rose.
So we've been talking about so much here, and there's so much interest. What are you hearing from small business owners in underserved neighborhoods? What are they facing right now?
Well, access to capital is definitely one of the top issues, but a close second is having a healthy lease for their premises to do business.
Oh. So this is interesting because of Twitter being downtown in San Francisco in the Tenderloin area, right, Market and Fifth, I'm hearing that a lot of these small businesses who've been there for decades are now getting notices that their rents are going to triple. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we've definitely seen an increase in new businesses interested in the area. And so we're definitely concerned about having enough space to accommodate all of that interest and making sure that our existing businesses and nonprofits are able to stay. So we are doing a lot of lease negotiations right now to make sure that we don't lose critical resources in the community.
And is this a big concern right now? Are rents going up for these small businesses?
It's really just starting. We still have a lot of vacancies to fill. Fortunately, we do have a number of benevolent property owners that we're working with right now to stabilize folks that are already in place, but the concern is there. So we're working closely with the city to make sure that, you know, the community knows that we're here and the city is there to address their concerns and advocate on their behalf.
And Tracy, if there was one policy that could assist these small businesses, what would it be?
It's start that dialogue first and foremost with your landlord. And make sure that you have a good line of communication so that they understand, the importance of you being in a healthy lease, and making sure that it's a long and strong lease, because I think, you know, fortunately the Central Market neighborhood in San Francisco is finally going to start to become a healthy resource for our city.
Right.
And we need to make sure that it remains diverse and as community serving as possible.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tracy.
Thank you.
Tracy Everwine is Project Director at Urban Solutions, whose mission is to strengthen underserved neighborhoods. We didn't even bring up rent, but that's a huge one for a small business.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in San Francisco. I just want to take a couple more calls. Let's hear from Bill in Oakland. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show. Hello, Bill. Let's try Jeff in Santa Cruz. Hi, Jeff.
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, great, thanks. I'm a small business owner. I've been in business 22 years now. The way I started mine, I just had a couple of kind of good news things. I saved the money to start my business while I was working at my other job. And then when I was able to start the business, you know, I had my own funding that I could put into it. And then because my business worked, I was able to always be self-sustaining that way. But also, one thing that's really been helpful in Santa Cruz, we have a lot of credit unions, and they've been really favorable to loaning for small business. And then the other couple of things that worked out well in some other small businesses in Santa Cruz, a couple of very small businesses got that stimulus money. I guess it was called the TARP money. And it really helped. One of them was an ice cream place that Joe Biden liked, and so made it kind of famous here in Santa Cruz. And I don't know how much of that money they got, but a bakery and an ice cream place got it, and they're doing super well. So,
well, thanks for calling in.
Some of that.
Yeah. Did anything on that, Lloyd, in terms of the stimulus money going to small businesses? How much of it went to small businesses?
My research shows that small businesses, again, where most people work, where most of the gross domestic product and 90% of the jobs got maybe 3% of the stimulus money.
How was it doled out?
Oh, through a variety of programs, but it should have been 100%, by the way. 100% of the stimulus money should have gone to small businesses, not 3%.
Well, and Don writes in, has anyone attempted to get the law enforced by suing in federal court? Would that work for the contracts?
You know what? I'm getting ready right now to try and file suit against the government and sue them to force them to quit giving small business contracts to Fortune 500 firms. In the last decade, I've spent a lot of time in court suing the government to try to force them to release the data that shows they're giving small business contracts to Fortune 500 firms. But right now, we're working, we're actually trying to raise money to, you know, to sue the government. It's expensive, and we want to file a lawsuit on behalf of every small business in America to try to get the government to simply stop giving small business contracts to Fortune 500 firms. That's what we're going to try to do.
And we have about a minute left. Where does this passion come from for you? You've dedicated your entire life to this issue. Why is this so important to you?
I'm 62. I grew up watching Roy Rogers and Hopalong Cassidy and Gene Autry, and the good guys are supposed to win. And they're not. And Superman, with Clark Kent and Jimmy Olsen. And I just, it makes me so mad. I'll have to tell you, I talked to small business owners. I've talked to a man and his wife. They're both crying, tears dripping off their cheeks. They're going bankrupt, trying to compete for government contracts and losing to companies in Europe. And it just makes me mad. So my motivation comes from I'm just mad.
And Jerry, what about you, just quickly? What about your passion? You've dedicated your life to this also.
Well, my father was a small businessman, and I started doing antitrust law and what were going after the big guys because of all the bad practices they had and anti-market things they were doing. And from there, I went straight into the small business issue and literally decided that this is the future of America. We live or die based on how well small business survives. And in the area of innovation and technology, 25% of all key innovations in America come from this little SBIR program. And big businesses are down to 5 or 6%. And so if we want to be developing the next generation of technology and jobs, we've got to have a vital, vibrant innovation and small business innovation industry, and so we work for it.
Thank you so much. We need more like you, too. Thank you. Jerry Glover is Executive Director of the Small Business Technology Council. Lloyd Chapman, Executive Director of the American Small Business League. Stay mad. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Coming up tomorrow. What's in the Republican Party's platform? On the next Jour Call, we'll talk about how the platform has changed since 2008. The draft says it opposes abortion in all cases with no exceptions for rape or incest and supports a voucher system for health care for seniors. Who's setting the agenda and how important is the platform? Join us at 10 or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Whether or not you identify as a Republican, what does the party's platform mean to you? It's Jour Call with Holly Kernan and you.